Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. I am your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today, we're discussing the country's new currency, the ZiG, which is expected to start circulating at the end of this month. But first, let's take a look at what is happening here in the United States. The trial of former U.S. President Donald Trump enters a new stage Monday when opening remarks begin. Meanwhile, U.S. President Joe Biden will make a campaign stop in Tampa, Florida, on Tuesday to talk about reproductive rights. VOA's Veronica Boundaris Iglesias reports.
Now that 12 jurors have been selected, prosecutors and Donald Trump's defense team will make opening statements Monday in the criminal hush money trial against the former U.S. president in Manhattan, New York. He faces 34 felony counts for his alleged role in trying to hide hush money payments to women who claim to have had extramarital affairs with him before the 2016 presidential election. Trump, who is also the presumptive Republican presidential nominee for this year's general election, has been adamant in denying the charges.
This is a giant witch hunt to try and hurt a campaign that's beating the worst president in history. Biden's the worst president in the history of our country, beating him by a lot. And this is the only way they think they can win, but it's not going to work.
Bad weather conditions forced Trump to cancel a weekend rally in North Carolina. On Saturday, he took to his Truth Social platform to argue why he should be granted presidential immunity in a separate federal election interference case. Oral arguments will be heard by the Supreme Court on April 25th in that case. Some Democratic voters watching closely could become energized, analysts say.
As for voters watching this, has less to do with Donald Trump supporters because many of them do have an authoritarian streak and many of them would like him to be able to do whatever he can as president. Biden has made the case that you can't put somebody back into office who's a real threat to democracy to do anything they want.
U.S. President Joe Biden, who is running for re-election, continues to abstain from mentioning his rival's legal challenges. On Friday, he directed his political messaging to the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers in D.C.
My predecessor rolled back protection for American workers. He opposed increases in federal minimum wage. And he was proud, very proud of his $2 trillion tax cut when he was president that overwhelmingly benefited the wealthy and created the biggest corporations and exploded the federal debt.
Union workers are increasingly one of the swing groups that both presidential candidates need to win over, says Associate Professor of Government at Georgetown University, Hans Noel.
The Democratic Party is the party that's been, you know, supporting your causes in the past. It's a thing that they need to be reminded of if Biden wants their votes. Meanwhile, Trump is also going after that same demographic with a slightly different message, a message about immigration, about culture.
Trump must attend his criminal hush money trial in person this coming week. The next campaign rally, as advertised on his campaign website, won't be until May 11 in Wildwood, New Jersey. Biden's campaign told VOA that the president will give remarks in Tampa, Florida on Tuesday, focusing on the high-stakes issue of the 2024 election, reproductive freedom across the country. Veronica Valderas Iglesias, VOA News, Washington.
And at the same time, lawmakers in the U.S. House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed a $95 billion foreign aid bill on Saturday. The measure now heads to the U.S. Senate, which is expected to take up a vote early this week. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports.
Funding for Ukraine's war against invading Russia. Israel's war on Hamas in Palestinian territories. And support for Taiwan's military against the possible attack from China. The United States House of Representatives overwhelmingly voted to provide a total $95 billion in foreign aid this weekend in surprisingly bipartisan fashion for a Congress that's been bitterly divided along party lines. The vote was Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson's first major test leading his party's razor-thin majority.
I've said it very simply. I'll say it once again. It's an old military adage, but we would rather send bullets to the conflict overseas than our own boys, our troops. And I think this is an important moment, an important opportunity to make that decision. We allowed the House to do that, and I expect the Senate will make the same decision.
Johnson secured the necessary votes only by reaching across the aisle for help from House Democrats. Two hard right members of Johnson's conference threatened his ouster if he followed through with the Ukraine aid vote. Johnson's allies credit his fortitude in the face of rebellion.
I am so proud of the Speaker Mike Johnson. He went through a transformation. At the end of the day, a profile in courage is putting the nation above yourself. And that's what he did. He said at the end of the day, I'm going to be on the right side of history, irrespective of my job. And I think that was what I admired so much.
One of the biggest sticking points for many Republicans was future funding for Ukraine. That country's leadership has been pleading with Western powers for material support in its war against invading Russia since the onset in February 2022. With the House passing its foreign aid package, Ukraine's president was quick to thank lawmakers and the American people.
This aid will strengthen Ukraine and send the Kremlin a powerful signal that it will not be the second Afghanistan. The United States will stay with Ukraine, will protect the Ukrainians, and they will protect, they'll protect democracy.
The bill contains $60 billion in aid for Kyiv now in its third year of war with Moscow. It includes $26 billion for Israel's war effort against Hamas, as well as humanitarian aid for civilians in conflict zones like Gaza. And another $8 billion for the Indo-Pacific region, where Taiwan continues readiness exercises should China invade. The legislation now moves to the Senate, where a vote should come early this week, advancing the measure to U.S. President Joe Biden's desk for his signature. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Thanks, Arash, for that report. Police today rounded up money changers in Bulawayo following the arrest of 65 others in Harare for allegedly violating Zimbabwe's finance regulations. Police spokesperson Senior Assistant Commissioner Ponyati confirmed today's arrest, saying it's a part of a crackdown launched by the police and the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe against illegal foreign currency dealers. Nyati could not specify the number of people arrested in Bulawayo today. According to the National Prosecuting Authority of Zimbabwe, the 65 sentenced suspected money changers were arrested in Harare and were remanded in custody today by a local magistrate. Were found in possession of points of sale machines and various credit and debit cards. They're expected to apply for bail. The accused are facing charges of violating some provisions of the Exchange Control Act and exchange control regulations. But critics say their arrest won't stop the depreciation of the Zimbabwe gold currency, which starts circulating at the end of the month. The United States dollar is trading at 20 zig on the black market, while it is fetching 13.2 in the official central bank money market. Please stay tuned as we take a short break. We'll be right back.
Change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see. We seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Tonight, we're talking about the arrest of money changers said to be causing the depreciation of the Zimbabwe gold currency, or ZiG. To discuss this issue, we are joined by Chennai Mtambasere, an independent economist. And we also have Professor Elliot Masocha, who's also joining us, a political analyst at DeVry University here in the United States. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the program, Ms. Mtambasere.
Thank you, marvelous.
Let's start with you, Ms. Mtambasere. You know, what's going on with the Zimbabwe gold currency from your observation? And why do you think police are already arresting the so-called money changers?
I think what we are seeing here is, shall I say, the nature or the tenure of the new governor. You know, you always start as you intend to go on. And it looks to me like this next phase is about draconian policy, overnight policy. You know, there's no really any chance of restoring market confidence, because they are replacing confidence with police, you know, and this is not going to work. I think it's only suitable to make the lives of the Zimbabwean people worse, to further diminish the market confidence. And in terms of the ZiG, I mean, I actually feel sorry for the ZiG, because the way in which they're going about introducing it to the market means that the market will continue to reject it. And it is this rejection that we're seeing that is continuing to push the rate of exchange. So there's a lot here to read into the situation. You know, from an outsider's perspective, you'll be wondering then, you know, what is John Mshayavan about? And so far, the last 3 weeks have given us a new currency that was introduced without really much consultation prior. He has given us new statutory instruments that are more or less draconian laws that really should not exist in the 21st century at all. Money is an asset. And when you say you have an asset, it's for you to do what you want with, right? I should be able to exchange it. I should be able to trade it, as long as I'm doing this lawfully. I'm not stealing from anyone. I am not laundering it or using it for any sort of clandestine activity. It's my money. I should be able to trade it. We already have a multi-currency situation. So this kind of a hard stance on money changers all of a sudden is quite disturbing, to be honest.
Thank you so much. I'll come to you, Professor Masocha. What's your take on all this?
Well, what I'm seeing is that the government of Zimbabwe, through the police, they are implementing the law. As they have said, that the Foreign Exchange Control Act, that I believe exists in any country in the entire world. You know, they haven't been doing that. But I don't think the black market is going to be over, because it was always there. And I remember in 1993, the first time I went to South Africa, when everybody who had a passport was eligible to get foreign currency from a bank, but it was little. I had to go and supplement on the black market. So what I'm seeing is that the black market will just go underground and still exist. So about...
I think we've lost one of our panelists there, but we will be trying to find out what's going on. I know I had Professor Masocha on, but we've lost somebody. So, Mr. Professor Masocha, you can carry on while we try to get hold of Ms. Mtambasere. Carry on.
So, it can be seen as draconian, because that's the way people have known how to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But then it doesn't mean the way they were, you know, surviving, exchanging money in places they were doing it. It doesn't mean it was legal. It may have, you know, it was not legal. So they are just going to change places and do it maybe in their own houses or somewhere in the bush. But the black market will still be in control of the Zimbabwean market for the unforeseeable future, until the government of Zimbabwe is able to you know, to make available the U.S. dollar to everybody who needs it.
Mm-hmm.
People in the streets and also businesses as well. About the ZiG currency itself, you know, the way it was introduced, I don't know whether they were not following the Reserve Bank Act. Because we also have to look at the law. What does the law say for the governor and the government to introduce money, new money in the economy? Before we criticize, we have the right to criticize, of course, but did they follow the law?
Mm-hmm.
They followed the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe Act to do that. If they did so, then there is nothing wrong. Maybe they did all the consultations, they didn't get to us, but they may have followed the Reserve Bank Act, which I haven't read yet. But ZiG itself, as far as I have observed it, as far as I have heard it, as far as I have read about the involvement of the World Bank in its introduction, its formation introduction, I believe it's good money. From the start, I gave it 75% success rate. Only if the government is going to make available what we call, you know, the means of production, like electricity must be there, because we know for sure any time electricity is going to be off, the Zimbabwean economy is off. It will be going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And also, only if the Zimbabwean government is going to be able to make available the U.S. dollar to everybody who needs it as before, as other countries do, then I don't give it much future if the government is not going to work on, you know, those factors of production I have said, and many more.
Thank you so much. I'll come back to you, Ms. Mutambaseri. I'm glad we have you back. Does it make sense for the police to launch this crackdown on money changers in conjunction with the actual Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe? The country has been in the past on this road before. Do you think this will stop the depreciation of the Zimbabwe gold currency?
No, it's actually going to make things worse. Because what we see here is that things in Zimbabwe are priced in U.S. dollars in general. If we say by the time we had the ZWL, the Zimbabwe local currency, it was only being used 15% of the time. 85% of transactions in Zimbabwe are using the U.S. dollar. So what does this mean for people that are being paid in ZiG? It means that the moment you transact in ZiG, you quickly need to change it back into U.S. dollar, because 85% of the time you're going to be using U.S. dollars. And so what happens now is, because our economy does not trust our banking system, a lot of Zimbabweans are largely unbanked. So banks who are defined by the monetary policy statements, I guess, as being the authorized dealers, do not necessarily have adequate hard currency in the form of U.S. dollar or even rand to exchange to meet the demand, that is the 85% of transactions. So what has been going on is that even stores, the big stores that are being forced to sell in local currency, they also need to access the U.S. dollars, et cetera, et cetera. So we've had this parallel economy that has really been keeping things going in Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. So this hard stance is really short-sighted. You know, for want of a better term, you know, I have called it draconian because it really is criminalizing things that are not really criminal. You know, I have said we saw last year the gold mafia that showed us where the money laundering was happening in the country, where the leakage was happening in the country, and there were no arrests. So, you know, this hard, it really shows that, you know, there's no working together. There's no consumer-first policy. It's almost a crackdown, and I'm not really sure what they're trying to crack down on. Because 85% of the time, people need to use U.S. dollars. That is who we are as a country.
Thank you there, Ms. Mutambaseri. Please stay on the line. I understand we have a caller. Makadi Mkoma Tatenda. Hello, taurisai mkoma tatenda tinswe, taurai fungwa dzenyu. Sisi tatenda, taurai tinswe. Oh, I think we've lost a tatenda there. But I understand we had a lady who was on the phone who wanted to give her contribution. So while we're waiting for her, Tombo Funza, Mujinafundo Masucha, Saka munoti takatarisa zviri kuitika izvi zvii zvingaitwa kuti tione mari isingazoende zvatakaona zvichiitika kune mabhondi nezvimwewo
zvandinoona zvingafanira kuitwa ndozvokuti Reserve Bank itevedzere mitemo yayo nokuti kubvira kwese kushure uko kwainzi kwaintrodyuswa mari kwaiswa mutemo wakati zvataizoona ndozvokuti on the ground hapana uri kuteverera kunoona kuti mitemo iyoyo waitwa here ndingapa muenzaniso weexchange rate yainzi nehurumende vamabhizinesi vanofanira kuishandisa exchange rate iyoyo yokuauction yeforeign currency waizoti ukaenda mumasupemarkets acho waitoona vakatonyora namavara makuru exchange rate yavovo isinei nemitemo yezimbabwe saka zvatiri kuona ike zvinezvi mapurisa achienda achinosunga vanhu kuzama kugadziridza izvozvo zvatiri kutaura zvokuti kana maisa mutemo soweforeign exchange control act wavari kuti vari kushandisa kusunga vanhu vomumastreet chiendai munotevera kuti mutemo iwoyo uri kutevedzerwa here mutemo wacho ukatevedzerwa mitemo yehurumende yose yefinance yese yemari dzese yakanakisa chaizvo kutaura kwandiri kuita asi mutemo unongonaka chete kana uchikwanisa kushandiswa ndo panoti hurumende ipapo tigare gare taona zvinhu zvaakudzokera kwazvazviri nokuti hapana munhu unenge achaenda kunoonawo kuti mutemo wakati wakati uri kuteedzerwa here zvimwe zvekare zvavanofanira kuita ndezvokuti pakuprinda mari yacho sekutaura kwavakaita kuti isarudza value vanofanira kuprinda mari iyoyo zvichienderana nokuti vane goridhe rakawanda sei rinomiririra mari iyoyo the moment yavanongotanga kungoprinda mari iyoyo isina goridhe rakaimiririra yaakutodonha uremu hwayo zvekare chimwe chandataka kutaura ndechokuti kuti uremu hwezigi hurambe huri zvahuri mari inoshanda vanofanira kunge hurumende inofanira kunge ichipa vanhu vanoda US dollar kana rand sezvaiita kare waiti ukaenda mubhanga wondodhindirwa mupasipoti mako mari yaunenge wapuwa yonyorwa imomo zvichienderana nomutemo wezimbabwe nyange zvayo yanga isingakwani mari iyoyo yaiita kuti patinozondotutsira neblack market nokuti black market yaingovako sekutaura kwandaita kunana 1993 uku kwandaita kusouth africa reti yacho yaizenge iri padhuze
bataini makadaro profesa ndina kola varipo alo kola
alo tete
makadii makadii kola
ndiri raiti ini muri seweimi
aiwa tiri waditaura henyu sita renyu nekwamuri muvhamati papfungwa dzenyu
orit ini ndinoitwa moris muhlanga zvangu ndiri kuno kusouth africa kunonzi kumamelodi
ehe muri kuona sei nyaya yezigi
ai nyaya yezigi ini ndakatarisa hangu kusaidi rangu ndiri kuona zvangu ingori mari ehe yakangoburitswa papublic kunzi ii mari ingakwanisa kushanda munyika asi nekuda kwemamiriro akaita nyika yedu yezimbabwe handioni mari ine chiedza chekuti chero 6 months padzinopera chaiko chaiko dzainokwanisa kuva yatodonhedzwa chaiko chaiko
okay ende munoona sei zviri kuitwa nemapurisa nebhanga guru renyika rereserve bank kuti vasunge vaya vanoita zvokuchinja mari machange money
mapurisa edu zvaari kutoita izvo manje ari kutotyora mutemo hongwe vanenge vachiviti isivaridzive mutemo asi inyaya yekuti vari kutoita zvekutenda zvemukoto izvizvi vari kutoona kuti amari iyi haina pawe ende haina simba ende hapana zvainongakwanisa kuita munyika
saka dai hurumende yakateerera maiti chii panyaya yemari
ade hurumende yakateerera tatoiudza kutoti demazama zvimwe nekuti mari iyo haingakwanisi kuti ingashanda munyika muya muya nezvairi
Aiwa, thank you so much, Mkoma Morris Mhlanga. Ms. Mutambasere, what's your advice to the Zimbabwean government when it comes to the Zimbabwe gold currency?
The Zimbabwe gold currency, we need to really rethink the whole thing. Aside from Zimbabwe needing a system overhaul so that we restore confidence, we need to look at the way we do things in Zimbabwe. The ZIG has got a lot of things missing. It hasn't been minted yet. We've got no coins or any notes. We don't even know
how many, what is the value of the ZiG currency in total that is going to be printed? We also don't even know what asset it is being backed by.
Ms. Mutambasare, if I can just come in there. Sorry. Please hold on. I'll come back to you. I'm just going to take a quick caller. Caller Makadi Yenu.
Hi,
what did you do? Taura Yenu, starting you know, Mudum from Matipa Funga Zenu, Panya Zigi. Okay, aiwa tinotenda paBotswana apo muvenezuva rakanaka.
Aiwa tinotenda nemiwo.
Thank you so much. Ms. Mutambasero, you can carry on and just round up.
So what I'm saying is that you cannot shortchange the economy. There are no shortcuts. And what the ZiG is, ZiG is an attempted shortcut.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to sit down and undertake an honest integrity test on our economy and understand why there's lack of trust, why there's lack of confidence. What they're doing now is actually making things worse. There is no way that it is acceptable that I can be told what I do with my money. As long as I have earned that money legally, I should be free to exchange with it, whatever, however I want to. This idea of cracking down, of crashing, of these are the words that we are hearing from the new governor. And really, that is just going to turn the perception on our country into a draconian state. And investors will flight from that.
Mm-hmm.
Even us, the Zimbabweans, we are fleeing from that. And the first thing that they will do is to reject the local currency. And that is what is happening now. And what they are doing is to push this even further underground. So where people could go and get access to foreign currency whilst you're buying your shopping and someone says to you, okay, do you have swipe? I'll give you US dollars. This activity is now being pushed further underground. And the first thing that it will take with it are commodities. Because people will go back to 2008 when people were barter trading with their commodities. You'd walk into a supermarket, you can't find what you need. But you go on the street, somebody has got tissue rolls in the boot of their car. And that's how you buy them. So, you know, and this is really, it's taking us back several decades. You know, the situation, it's worsening our crisis. We are already in a crisis in terms of drought. We are already in crisis, you know, globally, the impact of all of that. So I would really, you know, appeal to the economic policymakers that now is not the time for draconian policy. Mm-hmm. It is the time to rethink, to restore confidence and credibility into our economy.
Thank you so much, Professor Masocha. Your last word, 10 seconds.
Well, I believe that at this point in time, there are a lot of unknowns, and I understand people's fears because we have a very tough economic background in Zimbabwe, but let's look ahead with hope.
Mm-hmm.
And learn how to use any type of money that will be introduced in any country, because at the end of the day, those people who brought money said money is how you use it. They didn't specify the currency, they didn't specify how much. No matter how much at times we oppose this and that, it's good to, you know, to educate each other, to be careful based on our past. But let's strive by all means necessary to know how to use the little resources we have going forward.
Thank you.
And also, you know, be together and learn from each other, whether you are from the government or not.
Thank you so much there to my guests that I had on the show today. That brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.